Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It is a good morning. We do have visitors, and we want you to know that you are welcome, honored, and we care much for you and for your soul, and we're thankful that we are able to come together in like-minded spirits, seeking to hear and believe the same things, to do the will of God in our lives. It's a glorious day when the Lord has provided us a place to worship and a place to bring honor and glory to Him alone. And it's a wonderful time when we can look into His Word and to be able to expound and learn from the great, great things of God. A moment ago, we heard a scripture from Ephesians chapter 6. And this is a command of God being repeated. As we hear that the Lord wants us in these few texts, He wants the children to obey their parents. He wants them to honor their parents. And He reminds us that it's a commandment with promise, and that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You know, one of the sweetest words ever spoken, in my opinion, is the word mother. I remember a song long time ago that had nothing to do with a mother. It was a song about a woman named Maria in an old TV or movie show called West Side Story. And he said the most beautiful word in all the world is Maria. Well, I disagree. I think the most beautiful word in all the world is mother. That's the most sweetest word ever spoken. And we think about mothers and how they work in our lives to nourish us and to raise us and to care for us. And we think of mothers in the Bible, obviously. In the book of Exodus, chapter 6 and verse 20, we read about the mother of Moses, Jochebed, and how she cared so much for Moses that she risked her own life hiding Moses from the Pharaoh. And she for some time did that until he began to be so large that there was no way to hide him. And so she put him in a reed-made ark and sent him out onto the River Nile, where he was saved and raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. And you think about her name, literally, her name means glory to Jehovah. And that's what it's all about. And mothers certainly deserve our glory. Remember Solomon? When we think of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, and that time when he displayed great wisdom, and the two women had one baby, and one woman was the harlot, and the other was the mother, and they were fighting back and forth about whose baby it was, and Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." Right? And the woman that was not the mother said, "Cut the baby in half." But the mother said, "No, give the baby to her so that it may live. Do not bring any harm to that child." That's what a mother does. The mother cares so much for her children that she's willing to do anything to protect them and to raise them and to bring them to a good life. It's hard to think about mothers and not, you know, be reminded of Mary and Joseph and how they took Jesus and hid him off into Egypt so that Herod couldn't kill him. They protected him. At whatever the cost is, to pack up and move is no problem for mom. Just protect my child. And so we think of that. How important it is that we love our mothers in return. In the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, we read where the woman said, "Blessed are you." The angel said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." Mary was called blessed because she was the mother to be of Jesus. And so it's blessed to be a mother, and we need to return as children to our mothers. And we all have a mother. There's no doubt about that. We all have a mother. So let's take time today. And I'd like to talk to you about some of the things that God has commanded us concerning mothers. How we can return through the commandment our love for our mothers. And we know that it involves a physical love, that we can cherish and love them in our hearts, that we can embrace our mothers and that we do for our parents and our mothers. That's important. But I'd like to look at what God actually said in the way of commandments, things that we must do in order to show our great love for our mothers. And as we've heard in the scripture reading, the Bible speaks of honoring our mothers. We need to honor our mothers. When we think of terms of honor, and the word in honor in the Greek word, timo, or timao, depending on how you use it, it's a pretty simple, straightforward word. Thayer says it means to estimate or fix a value, middle, to fix the value of something belonging to oneself. We think about your mom, what's her value? And obviously the word is priceless. There's no value that you can place in this world upon a mother other than priceless. And it goes on to tell us in Thayer's that it means to honor, to have in honor, to revere, and to venerate. And so that's the attitude that we want to have towards those in which we honor, and especially our own mothers. In John chapter 5 and verse 32, we read, all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. It's the same word that the Lord is telling us to give to our parents, to our mother, as it is to Him and to the Son. When we think of honoring Jesus, we just did so at our communion. We do so when we come here to worship. We honor God, the Father, and the Son. And we do that, the same has to come to our mothers. You know, who deserves it? What did God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what have they done through since the beginning of creation in our lives that we should honor them? All those great things. In the same likeness, what has our mother done since our creation, since the time we were born? She has taken and nurtured us and cared for us and deserves nothing short of great, great honor. In the book of Matthew, the same word is used again for the commandment saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses mother or father or mother, let him be put to death. You see, there's a strength here in the commandment that the Lord wants us to give that reverence and venerance and honor and revere our mother. And He tells us that there's a consequence when we don't. And so the Lord places mothers in a very high esteem. And realize that the commandments that we are talking about, they're from God. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we read, honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon, your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, realize that in the Old Testament, the reward was that your days on the land that God has given you would be long. But He also says this in Ephesians that we just read, the same command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What was the promise in the Old Testament that you would live long on the land? That you would live long on the land which the Lord gave you. But in the New Testament, there is also a promise, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, you may live long on the earth. You see that there's a little difference. But there is a promise that comes along with obeying God's command to honor your mother. You know, we think in terms of this, think about Elijah's attitude towards his parents. When he was asked to leave home, what was the first thing he said? In 1 Kings chapter 19, he wanted to run back and kiss his mother and his father. He wanted to kiss them before he left. That's showing reverence. That's showing respect. That's showing a great love for your mother. And I can't imagine in the world that we live in today, it's such a sad commentary on the issue of love when parents have to live with children that talk back to them and are crude and mean and rude. And it's so sad to see that when you go to the store, when you go out into the world and you see in ways in which children talk to their parents. It's heartbreaking. I don't know that I could manage that kind of response to get caring and nurturing a child through life and the disrespect. But Elijah, he wanted to kiss his mother and father before he left. Well, with God, we need to realize that this is no small thing, loving your mother. He makes some very serious issue with the idea that it's something we must do. And we want to consider the things that God says as wisdom. Let's look at this. In ancient laws, the penalty for not loving your mother or respecting your parents was really death. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death, Exodus 21:15. He who curses his father or mother is surely to be put to death, Exodus 21:17. For everyone who curses his father or mother surely shall be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother, his blood shall be upon him. This is serious. We think of how much we should love and respect our mother, and yet in the world that we live in, people don't have that. They don't understand what it really means to be a mother. And sometimes mothers, you know, we'll get into this that, you know, it's not all the children's fault. But as Christians, in a Christian family, we need to have reciprocity with our mother. She gave me love, and I need to give her love back. And she gave me all her love, and I need to give her all my love back in that respect. In the worldly sense, we need to love our parents. God says, an eye that mocks his father or scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens in the valley will pick it out. Wow. So God is serious about loving your mothers. And so we want to sit up and take note of that. He doesn't leave any room for doubt. The third part of this is that, you know, we don't want to forsake the law of our mothers. And just to make a note about that last screen, we think about this generation in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. The Proverbs writer says that this generation that curses his father or mother does not bless its mother. He's talking about a generation of children that curse their mothers and fathers. And we want to honor our parents. We want to honor our mother. And we want to do that. Now listen, we want to honor our mothers because they are our mothers. God honors you. Jesus died on the cross for us, for the world, and he didn't do it because we did something special. Right? Jesus died on the cross for us just because he is who he is. He was the Son of God, the pure Lamb, and he died and gave his life, and his blood was shed for us. Our mothers deserve respect because they are mothers, period. It isn't because they're the greatest mother in the world or because they did all these great fun things with us. And you know, that's a modern time thing here. A lot of mothers today, their focus is, you know, I see it all the time that they got to have this program and this program and this program and this craft and that craft, and we have to be involved. And just being mother is so precious to God and to us. So the honor for our mothers is irrespective of the merits of anything that they have done, maybe in our own eyes. But they deserve great honor just because they bore us and nurtured us and loved us. And let's never forget that. Well, we don't want to forsake the law of our mother. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 and 24. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. You see that? Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instructions are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman and from the flattering tongue of a seductress. The words and the training that we receive, those things are, they're a gem around our necks. When we think back about the things that our mothers have taught us, whether we're male or female, it doesn't matter. And we think back upon the words of wisdom or just the way in which they embraced the troubles that we had. You know, I know that I'd much rather go to my mother when I was in trouble than my dad. But she still had some things to say. But she, you know, I liked her arms a little better. But it's important. You think about that. You bind them around your neck. They need to be something. And you know, it says here that they will speak with you. My mother's been in the grave for a long time. But I'll tell you, I still hear words from my mother. You know, I still hear things that she said. They speak to me even today. And that's why I want to love my mother so much. And so mothers, you know, they don't have it easy. But they're willing to give everything that they are so that you can have what you need. That's something. We think about the Lord and His sacrifice. He gave it all so that we could have what we need. And our mothers are the same. They're the same way. Now, they're not the perfect Lamb of God. They could never be a sacrifice for our sin. But they would sacrifice their life for you. I guarantee it. That's how much a mother loves a child. And I want you to note what it means in this text to forsake, not to forsake. Because to forsake her law means to give it up. That's what it means. Just give it up. It means to renounce, or it means to abandon, or it means just simply forgetting whatever it is that she said or did. I've often heard, many times I've heard that, oh, I remember my mother used to say, never give it up. Remember what your mother said. Remember what she taught you. When you think in terms like that, we can all remember the loving and the caring words of our mother's wisdom. Don't forget. Don't forsake her laws. Bind them on your heart. That's how important it is. It's important so that you can live long on the earth. It's important so that when your mother passes away, you have no regrets. And it's important so that when you get old, you have no regrets. Love your mother. Do not forsake the law of your mother. So important. Pretty simple. You know, a foolish son in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, it says a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And I was a foolish son many times, and I was a grief to my mother many times. But you know what? Through all those times, my mother still would turn to me and love me and embrace me and hold me. She never said no to the kiss. She never said no to the hug. She always wiped away the tears. And so once in a while, if we trip up and we become a grievance to our mother, there's nothing but turning back to her arms. Her arms are always open. She's not going to turn you away. And you need to realize that as a child, you have an influence over your mother's happiness. You really do. Nothing makes a mother more happy than to have children that love her, respect her, and reciprocate her love. Nothing makes her happier. But a rebellious child, you can cause pain. You can inflict pain on your mother. And it's pain that literally, I believe, mothers will get over, But I don't believe that you ever will if your mother passes on and you've been that way, because you'll regret it all your life. Children have power like a good cloud over their mothers. And when we think of that, you know, we can cause be a cloud that causes deep and dark and gloomy hopelessness and misery. And equally, as children, we can turn to our mothers and we can have power to make bright their lives, to make bright their evening, of the evening of their lives. As they grow older, the love and the nurturing turns around and we become a child who obviously loves the mother. Don't let your life go by without showing your mother how much you love her. Fourthly, despise not your mother. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 and 25 tell us, don't despise your mother. When we think of this, in verse 22, do not despise your mother when she's old. Okay? We don't get, it's like we want to use mom. When we're young, yeah, mom picks us up and takes us here and there, and mom cooks this, and mom cleans that, and mom washes this, and mom fixes the room when we don't, and mom sweeps the house, and mom does all these things. And then when she gets old, it's like, mom, you're such a pain. You know? Mom, all those things you did for me, sit down, relax, mom, let us take care of it. Right? Love your mother enough, especially when a mother begins to grow older. Don't despise your mother. And then in verse 23, let your fathers and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You see? Let them be glad. It doesn't say it's not your responsibility. It is your responsibility. You go out. You let them be glad. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care. Let them know you respect, that you revere them. Love your mother. And don't ever let that pass. In Proverbs 15 and 20, but a foolish man despises his mother. You know, when we think of being foolish, I don't think there's a better example than when you despise your mom. When you don't care. When you rebuke her, or you turn your back against her, or you don't take care of her when she's older. When you don't let them be happy because you are their child. We need to not allow that to be a part of our life. And also, Ecclesiastes, you know, you read Ecclesiastes 12, 3 through 5, and it's talking about the Lord and all the things that people tend, they can just walk away from the Lord. All the cares and the things, troubles and the trials, everything in the world, everything in your life can cause you to just forget the Lord. And people do that with moms and dads. Just, I'm so busy. You remember there used to be a song, and I don't remember who sang it, and I don't even remember all the words, but it started off with a guy singing, and he said something about, hey, Dad, let's go play ball. And Dad said, later when I have more time, son, we'll do it then. And then that boy grew older, and he kept asking Dad, let's go fishing, let's go golfing, let's do this. And he kept saying, I don't have enough time now, son, later. You know, we'll do it later. And then the song turns around. And all of a sudden you hear the father saying to the son, let's go fishing, son. And the son says, I don't have time today, Dad. Let's do it later. See, you don't want that kind of life. You don't want that. Your mother had time for you. You need to always have time for your mother. There's just no replacing that. You know, it's time to repay. Listen to what Paul said, you know, concerning Timothy. He says, but if any widow has a child or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. But it's time. The minute you grow old enough, it's time to start giving back to mom. Don't let mom go a day without giving her something. You know, don't just take advantage. That's what a lot of people today do. They take advantage. It's like the parents, they owe me something. Somehow. You know? In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is a companion to a destroyer. And the destroyer is going to be in your own life, not just your mother. Don't rob them of joy. And whatever you do, don't despise your mother, especially as they get older. Because they need you as much as you needed them. So important. Well, 5. Bring not your mother to shame. And again, in Proverbs, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to its mother. Let's remember that oftentimes, we need to realize that the mothers raise the children rightly. They're doing it a good job. Because if the child isn't raised rightly, if the rod is spared, so to speak, then that child will grow up and not have respect for the mother. And this is really hard. Because I know, especially in this day and age, there's a whole lot of books out there and there's a lot of psychology out there that teaches that you can't spank your children, that you can't correct your children, that rather than saying that's wrong and this is why, you're supposed to try to have a conversation with them. And sometimes there's no room for a conversation. Sometimes there's no room. I've had experience, with my grandchildren and we were gardening the other night and my grandson kept throwing the dirt at his sister and it got in her eyes, and so his mother said, Jonathan, don't do that. You're getting dirt in your sister's eyes. And he did it again. And as grandpa, I took a good swift whack and I said, don't throw the dirt in your sister's face. Okay, grandpa. He never did it again. Simple. But we have this new psychology. Don't let that get in the way. Because moms, it's partially your responsibility to teach your children the right way. And you can't complain if you don't. And so we need to provide unfailing love. We need to provide care. We need to provide guidance that they need most. Because if you do that, they won't shame you. They won't come back and shame you. So, yes, mothers do have a role in this place. A child that's left to their own device is really undisciplined and spoiled. And we think about this. Paul, he connects the dots. Paul's good at he connected the dots. You know what he said about this is about Timothy, his mother. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother and in your Lois and in your mother, Eunice. I am persuaded it is in you also. See? He connected the dots. You know why this child's like this? Look at his mother. We say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and we usually do that in reference to the fathers, but it's the true about the mothers. You see grace in a young girl or a young man. You see a disciplined attitude and a desire to be clean and loving and thoughtful, and you look at the mother. You're going to see those attributes. And they're going to be clear. Clear as day. So important. So important. I want to bring this to a conclusion. It's Mother's Day. So what we want to do, is just before I conclude, is just remember this. That sadly, and especially outside the church, many children today bring shame to their mothers. You cannot be alive and not see that. We see it on the television, the news. We see it as you stand in the grocery store line. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. Children that are unruly. Children that have just rebellious attitudes. Can you begin to imagine the shame? Just begin to imagine the shame and the disgrace that a godly mother receives if her child turns astray. And sometimes that's possible, no matter how hard you teach and no matter how much you love and how many times you embrace, sometimes you have a child that just becomes unruly. And how painful that is to a mother. A mother who bore you. A mother who fed you and loved you and nourished you and raised you. And how horrible that would be if you treated your mother wrongly and she went to the grave. She's going to go into glory, Lord willing, and those things will all be forgotten. But you have to live with that the rest of your natural life. And there's no taking it back. Because a child without genuine faith of the mother, a child without love for their mother, will end up being ashamed to themselves and to their mother. Love your mother with all your ability. Well, conclusion. We need more godly mothers in this world. Let's go out and share the gospel, who are instilling God's word in the hearts of their children. Godly mothers are a rare commodity. Don't take your mother for granted. Look and see how much her godliness means to you and your future. And don't forget to honor your mother every day. I should have that underlined. Every day of your life. Too many people, they wish they had done more. We say that, don't we? My mother's gone, and I wished I had told her this. I wish I had done that. And I wish. There's no wishing. Do it now. Do it every day. Not just Mother's Day, but every day. You know, in the book of Luke, in chapter 11, in verse 27 and 28, we read this, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nurse you.'" That's what a woman saying this from the crowd about Jesus. But look at what Jesus responded with in verse 28. "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Our mothers are so precious. But you know, you can't, quote, be a good child without God. You can't have a life that's proper without God. If you're not a part of the Lord's body, if you're not in the church of Christ, then you're outside. And you're going to struggle not only with your mother, but with your life. You're going to struggle with hope. And you're going to have a form of desperation that can never be fulfilled or removed. We need to honor Christ and what He did for us more. Because that puts us on a straight and narrow path that can help us to love our mothers and our fathers, our brothers and our sisters, members of the body. In fact, the whole world, when you think about it. And so we want to make sure our life is right with Christ. We do that by believing that He is the Son of God, making that confession before men. And we do that by repenting and turning away from any sins that we have in life. And we do that through faith. We come to that place in where we want to give ourselves over to Him. We die in Christ through baptism. And in that point of death, we come in contact with that life-saving blood. And then we're raised up out of that water to walk a newness of life, born again in Christ. We're added to the church by the very hand of God. And from that point forward, we live our lives giving praise and glory to God and obeying Him in everything that He teaches, including honoring your parents. If you're not in Christ, that's an invitation to you today that when we sing the song of invitation, to come and come to the first pew up here, and we'll be happy to help you and assist you. And also, as Christians, we realize that we can fall short of the glory of God, and we need to make that right. We know that we need to repent of our sin. We need to bring that before the Lord so the Lord can forgive us and that we can have that right relationship restored with Him. That's the invitation. If anyone has need, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.